Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Our scripture for today is found in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I'm the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So over the next 7 weeks, we're going to talk about our commitment to Christ and what it means to really be on this journey of living a faith that is fully integrated and being fully formed in Christ Jesus. And we're going to look at some basic expressions of what our faith in Christ looks like, and we're going to study those over the next several weeks. We're going to be talking about what it means to be committed to prayer and be committed to Bible study, what it looks like to be committed to worship or to sharing our faith, what it looks like to be committed to giving financially or serving in hands-on mission and outreach to the community. We're going to be looking at all of those things in depth over the next several weeks as part of a comprehensive package of what it means to have a commitment to Christ, what it means to be totally committed to our faith in Christ. But before we can do any of that, we've got to start with what it means to be committed to Christ and what it means to have Christ as the focal point and top priority of my life, as the main thing of what my faith is all about. Because without Christ, all of that other stuff is just stuff. Christ is the thing, Christ is the aspect of our faith that pulls all those other things together. So we're going to talk about that over today and over the next several weeks. And so I wanted to ask you this morning about your commitments. When you hear the word commitment, what kind of images does that conjure up? For a lot of people, when you hear the word commitment, you kind of cringe, because we don't like commitments. We live in a society that loves keeping our options open. Commitments feel like things that bind us and chain us down and keep us locked in. You know, if you have a cell phone, if you want to get an upgrade on your cell phone, it's going to cost you 2 more years with that cell phone company, and you don't like to make those kinds of commitments. If you have kids that play sports, you've got to commit to the team, and you've got to go to the practices when the coach tells you to go, and you got to play in the games when the league schedules the games. Then you got to play in these tournaments, and if you want to keep playing, you got to keep playing in the tournaments, whether they happen on Saturdays or Sundays or 11 o'clock at night or whenever they happen. You have to commit to it. If you're in the country club, you have to commit to paying your dues every month. If you're in the Rotary Club, they want your commitment to be there. All these commitments that we have screaming for our attention. And the commitments sometimes come with consequences. If we don't get our kids to the games or to the practices, then our kid may not get to play as much or play in the position we want them to play. Or if we don't pay our country club membership dues, then we don't get to play golf. Or if we don't continue to attend the Rotary Club meetings, they'll kick us out of the Rotary Club. If we don't pay our cell phone bill, they'll cut the cell phone off. And so we have to commit to all of these things. We understand commitment perfectly. It's just that we don't always like it. And so we have to prioritize. We have to figure out what commitments get placed where in our lives. We have this calendar on our refrigerator. Actually, we did have a calendar on our refrigerator. It's probably in a box at some point right now. We're still unpacking. But we, you know, have this big calendar, and we write all of our commitments on this calendar and all the things that we have to do and all the things the kids have to do. And we try to make it so that we can accomplish all of the things in the calendar. And sometimes, though, we have a day where everything is pretty much all covered up, and we've got commitments that are at the same times, and we have to figure out which of these things we're going to do and which of these things we're not going to do. I'm a friend of Dave Ramsey, and I listen to Dave Ramsey's radio show sometimes, and he talks about budgets are a way that we prioritize our financial commitments, that you've got to set a budget early in the month, on paper, on purpose, is what he says, and you outline all of your expenditures before you spend any money, and you've got to have those commitments, and you've got to have a place to live, and you've got to have the lights on, and you've got to have clothes, and you've got to have food, and every other commitment sort of lines up under that. And so we prioritize our commitments, and we try to figure out what order they go in so that we know how we're going to try to manage our lives. And then there are always these wrinkles that come in. Sometimes there's an emergency that throws our commitments completely out the window. Sometimes it's a financial emergency where we have to spend that money right now to do this, or it's a medical emergency where we have to jump in the car and go to attend to the person that's in the hospital despite the other commitments that we have. And we understand those. Sometimes those emergencies happen. Sometimes our commitments get thrown off by distractions, that there's something that I just would rather do. All of a sudden, you know, my favorite band's coming into town to do a concert, and it just happens to be on this night, and it's going to happen to cost this much money, but you know what? I'd rather do that than keep this commitment that I already had. But we know all about commitments, and we know how commitments work in our lives, and we know how much stress and trouble sometimes our commitments cause us. And so sometimes it's fun to think about the benefits that come with commitment. That if we do these certain things, then there are benefits that come. I got a card from my alumni association the other day in the mail, and if I gave them certain amounts of money, there were certain gifts that they would give to me in return. You know, $10, you know, I got a thank you note. And $25, I got a thank you note and a bumper sticker. And $50, I got a thank you note, a bumper sticker, and a t-shirt. You know, all these things. And so if I give them more money, they give me more things back. And so there's sort of a benefit to making that commitment to the alumni association. So we make our commitments, and we live with them. And that's just how our lives work. Well, I'm going to guess this morning that most of us in this room are Christians. Most of us have probably had some kind of faith experience. That may not be true for every single person in the room, but I'm going to guess that for the majority of the folks in this room, you've had some kind of faith experience. And I want you to remember that when the Church of Jesus Christ was just beginning, in its very early days, the first followers of Christ were not called Christians. They weren't called the Church of Jesus Christ. They weren't called the Christian Church. They were called followers of the Way. That was the movement that Jesus started. They called it the Way. And over time, these early followers of Christ earned the name Christian, which literally translated little Christs. And so in order for them to have earned that name, earned that distinction, it means that these earliest followers of Christ must have been reflecting Christ in the world. People must have been able to see the presence of Jesus Christ in these people as they reflected his teachings of love and service to others. Or maybe they reflected his commitment to obedience and sacrifice. Or maybe they reflected his promise of resurrection. Whatever they were doing in those earliest days, these earliest followers of Jesus were reflecting that so much that other people saw Jesus in them and called them little Christs. And so if we today are Christians, if we too bear that name and that distinction of being a little Christ, what does that mean for our faith? How does that influence the way we live and the way that we practice our faith in the world today? What does that mean to truly follow Christ? And honestly, if we're being really honest about it, the sacrifice and the commitment that requires. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you're supposed to take up his cross and follow him. And he said, if you want to be first, you have to be last. He said, if you want to be served, you need to serve others. If you want to be exalted, you have to be humbled. He talked about all of these things that don't sound like a lot of fun. And yet he calls us to serve him, calls us to love him, calls us to follow him, and we bear that name Christian. Now, why would we want to do that? Why would any of us want to do that? For most of us, it seems like it'd be a whole lot easier if we followed Jesus like we followed somebody on Twitter. Now, we just check in from time to time. Maybe, you know, retweet or repost something that looks clever, as long as it's going to get us some more likes as well. You know, that's kind of how our society wants us to follow Jesus. Just kind of hooking up and checking in every once in a while. Jesus said it's deeper than that. He said he wanted us to follow him with all that we are. And that's a lot to ask of us. And the only reason I can think of that he would want us to do that is because a life in Jesus offers a hope beyond hope, a purpose to life that we could never understand, never comprehend outside of knowing Christ as our Lord. And so Jesus said to his earliest followers to go out and take nothing with them and simply trust him with the message and with the mission. And they went and they saw God's work in their presence. In the early days of the church, there was a society of people known as the Parabolani. And these were a group of risk takers for Christ. A modern day example of a Parabolani might be Mother Teresa. Somebody who goes into a place that's impoverished, a place that's filled with disease, a prison, a place where they themselves might be harmed or might contract a disease. And they shared the love of Christ and they ministered to people. They were all in for the sake of their faith. They transformed the world and they transformed lives by their commitment to put themselves in harm's way in order to advance the good news and message of Christ's love. Now, I think for us what that looks like is a life that is committed to Christ and a life that is committed to the basic practices of our faith through prayer and study and worship and serving God and sharing our faith and giving what we have back to God. All these things fit together to create a more all-in experience of what it means to be committed to Christ. I don't know if you remember the story of Eric Little from the 1924 Olympic team. He was a runner from Great Britain. The movie Chariots of Fire was based on partly on his story. He was a devoutly committed Christian. And when it came time for the Olympics to happen, he discovered that his race was scheduled to run on a Sunday. He refused to run. And there was a great conversation in the movie between some really important people and Eric Little who were really compelling him to run this race and represent his country on a Sunday. But he was not going to budge. He was going to observe the Sabbath completely. And they questioned his commitment to his country. And he said, I'm totally committed to my country. I love my country, but I am more committed to my God who commands me not to break the Sabbath. And as it turned out, he was able to run a different race on a different day, and things worked out for him. I just wonder what that would look like if a committed Christian said he was going to observe the Sabbath despite the fact that he was supposed to play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys tonight. Or whatever. I mean, think about what ESPN would be saying tomorrow morning about this person. We just would not happen in our society, and yet a committed Christian is called to live a different life. You guys are pretty successful people. You're people who know how to be successful in your personal lives and in your professional lives, and you've figured out how to manage your ambition and how to set goals for yourself and to achieve goals and to do all these things that have gained you success in your professional and your personal lives. Just want to ask you, have you ever thought about pursuing your faith? Have you ever thought about pursuing your relationship with Christ with the same kind of passion and energy and ambition that you apply to your personal and your professional lives? Have you ever thought about pursuing your faith with that kind of energy and that kind of passion? Because honestly, words like obedience and sacrifice and commitment, these are hard words for us to hear. And they're tough for us to go through. But honestly, I really want to encourage you to think less about just being a respectable church member and really think more about what it means to be a fully formed follower of Jesus Christ. What would our church look like if we didn't call ourselves church members or church growers or church goers? We called all of ourselves fully formed followers of Christ, totally devoted to Christ and his message and his work and his way. That's a tough job. It's not for the faint of heart, because words like commitment and obedience and sacrifice, these sound a lot like have-tos, and have-tos aren't much fun. I have to do this. I have to do that. No, we don't want to do have-tos, and have-tos can be draining. But there's another aspect to it. Sometimes life gets in the way, and our faith seems less like, it's not like it's an obligation. It's just that our have-tos get in the way of our want-tos. You know, I want to be more committed to Christ, but I have to do these other things. I want to have a deeper prayer life, but I got to get to work in the morning. I don't have time to spend. I want to grow deeper in my faith through Bible study, but I have to get the kids to practice. I want to be more devoted in these aspects of my life, but I have to do all these other things. And all of a sudden, these want-tos get pushed out to the side because our have-tos take over and our faith gets pressed down to the point where it means very little to us. And we reach a point where our prayer life seems stale and empty or non-existent. Or the sacred scriptures of our faith no longer hold any real meaning for us. Or it's been months since we've been to church and we don't feel connected anymore to God or to our church community. We no longer feel a compassion or a desire to give ourselves in service to others. The checkbook balance is zero and we realize that there's nothing left to offer to God. Our lives no longer reflect the peace and the power of a transformed life lived in God's presence. Friends, the way of Christ is hard, especially in our place and our time. But let's be honest, I don't think Jesus would change his message for us today if he were with us. I think if Jesus were among us, he would be giving us that same message of sacrifice and commitment and faithfulness and obedience. He wouldn't water it down for us. He would tell us exactly what he wanted us to do. Would not change his message. And the reason he wouldn't, because there is a benefit to following Christ. There is something that we receive in following Christ that goes beyond the assurance of life after death. The benefit that we receive from Christ is found in the verse, in the story that was just read for you. One of my favorite verses. Courtney talked about her favorite verse last week. This one's mine. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." Now I want to explain what I think the thief is. When I read that, the image that comes to my mind is not a thief like, you know, a guy with a mask on and he's sneaking around in the dark trying to steal something. The thief that I picture in that is the thief that wants to rob me and steal away the peace that I receive by my relationship with Christ. The thief is the distraction. The thief is the time waster. The thief is the thing that wants to keep me from focusing on my relationship with Christ so that I might grow deeper in my faith. The thief wants me to chase after the life that everybody else seems to want. The thief wants me to live something other than God's will. The thief wants to rob me of a peace and a comfort and the assurance of Christ's presence in my life. That thief comes differently to each of us. What's that thief in your life? What's that distraction? What's that thing that's trying to rob you of your faith in Christ? Where are you being tempted? Where are you being led away from a life that is not an abundant life? Jesus said, "A life in me is an abundant life," which doesn't necessarily mean that it's a life filled with money and riches and happiness and all these things that we think we want. It's just simply a life lived in his presence. A life that is so consumed with the love of Christ that all of a sudden those other things just don't matter anymore. And we don't think about the things that other people have or the other things that other people are chasing because it doesn't make any difference to us. The life in Christ is what we seek and what we find. William Barclay, who's a biblical commentator, wrote this. He said, "When we try to live our own lives, life is a dull, dispirited thing." You know, if we're chasing after every rainbow and every shiny little distraction and looking for other people and other things to make us happy and to complete our lives. He said, "When we walk with Jesus, there comes a new vitality, a superabundance of life. It's only when we live with Christ that life becomes really worth living and we begin to live in the real sense of the word." That's what a life in Christ gives to us. That's what a commitment to Christ means for us. Now, some of you have figured this out already, and you're hearing this message, and you're thinking, "Yeah, I know, I got it. Thanks." And this message seems very basic to you, and I appreciate your patience with me this morning. Others of you aren't sure about this commitment. At least you're not sure about how this kind of commitment looks like in the real world. I mean, it's one thing to sing praises and to offer, you know, ourselves to God in worship here in this room and pray and sing and study here in this building. But it's another thing, you know, on Monday morning at work or on Tuesday afternoon or on Saturday morning at the ball fields. I mean, that's a different look for our commitment to Christ. And so maybe today is an opportunity to reconnect, to realign yourself with God's purposes and let everything else sort of fall in place after that. Maybe you've never really made a commitment to Christ. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Maybe you've been wondering about it, and you're really not ever sure that you ever did. And now something's stirring in you. Something is moving. You sense that God's doing something to you, calling you to a new way of living, calling you to a new kind of life. Wherever you are, however you are, I want you today to respond to an invitation. There's a card in your worship guide. I want you to take it out and take a look at it. This is a commitment card. We're going to ask you today for your commitment. Unashamedly asking you for your commitment to Christ. And there are lots of places on that journey that you may be. And we'll give you an opportunity to think about where you are on that journey and where you'd like to go. And I want to ask you this question. What percentage of you do you currently give to God? Not how much money you give, yourself. How much of you, what percentage of your life, of your being, of your sense of who you are, what percentage of you do you truly give to God? Think about that in terms of, you know, maybe a percentage. If it's right now it's 25%, what would it look like if you were giving 50% of you to God? What if you were able to double that? If you're at 50%, what would it look like to be totally committed to God, 100%? To think about your life as a progression. I think sometimes when we join the church, we think, okay, well, I've joined the church, and that's really all I have to do. Well, that's really the starting point. Becoming a part of the church family is just a starting point. Really, the real work happens after that as we seek to grow in our faith and to be stronger and more committed disciples next year than we are right now. How are we growing? How are we taking steps in our faith development? So wherever you are, I want you to offer that as a response. And when we come forward for communion in just a few minutes, I want you to bring that card with you and lay it in the communion baskets. Bring that commitment with you. Now, that's not a prerequisite to communion. If you come without a card, we're still going to serve you communion. But I think it's important as we come to participate in this sacred moment that we offer ourselves, that we rededicate our lives to Christ, that we really make a firm commitment, that we make a public display of our faith in a way that we're not ashamed about, in a way that we're really excited about what Christ is doing in our lives and how Christ might help us to grow and experience life in a more deep passion. The questions we want to consider, is Christ the guiding light of my life? Is my relationship with Christ one that offers a peace passes all understanding? Do my speech and behavior please the Lord? Am I passionate about having Christ as the priority of my life? You should think about your relationship with Christ. Think about where you are. Think about where you'd like to be. And I want to ask you if you're ready to say yes to Christ today. Are you ready to really commit to what it looks like to be a faithful, fully formed follower of Jesus Christ? Not just a churchgoer, not just somebody who shows up and occupies a chair for a couple of hours a week, but somebody who is really, really dedicated to living in Christ, with Christ, through Christ, each and every day of our lives. Won't be easy. It won't be easy. But the life you experience as a result will be abundant. Let's pray. Gracious God, I give you thanks for the ways that you are working in our lives and the ways that you are calling us into a deeper relationship with you. We're not always going to get it right, Lord. We're going to mess up. Even if we want to be committed to you, there are probably places and times where we stumble and fall. But I pray that you would honor our attempt, that you would honor our intention to be intentional about our faith, that you'd meet us on the road and on the journey and show us how we can do this. Pray for each person in this room who is seeking you and seeking to grow toward you, and seeking that new life, that new abundant life that you have for us. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.